Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Oh, Arya, thank you. Yesterday we talked a little bit about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's travels to Vrindavan, and we focused on one key element which will decide whether we can actually come to Vrindavan or not. Remember, it was an arduous and long walk. Mahaprabhu had to cross a very, very large jungle. This jungle is still there, and it is infested with bandits and wild animals. It's not safe to cross it, and he, of course, being the Lord, made this journey chanting the holy name and expressing his eagerness to come to Vrindavan in various ways. Today we are jumping into a conserve. It's like a tin thing. It's called an airplane in our language. And then we go on the Yamuna Express Highway, and we arrive sometimes startled by the culture shock of the different country, and remain for the rest of our stay on that level of shock. But as we remain empty-hearted. But Mahaprabhu teaches us how to travel to Vrindavan. The road is not the Yamuna Express Highway. The road is not airways which the airplane takes. You must come to Vrindavan through one road only. That is the road of your eagerness. Only when you have this eagerness to connect with Radha and Krishna and to serve them, to come, three desires, to come closer to them, to serve them, and to please them. Only if you have the three desires, which are an expression of eagerness, to come closer, to serve, and to please, then you can arrive in Vrindavan. If you do not have these three expressions of eagerness, Rupa Goswami mentions them in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If you do not have eagerness, then Vrindavan will not really say anything to you. I would like to give you an example. This is wonderful warm water enriched with minerals, but if I do, it's extremely attractively presented in this cup, but if I don't have thirst, I will not even look at the shadow of this water for the rest of this lecture. Only if I have thirst will I consume this water. And the same is with Vrindavan. If you don't have an eagerness in your heart to come closer to Krishna, to serve Radha and Krishna, and to please them actually, you will not really touch Vrindavan. You will not even touch the shadow of Vrindavan. You are thousands of miles away from Vrindavan, although your physical body may sit in the dust of Braj. So, come by the road of eagerness, and if you have become sidetracked from this road while you stay in Vrindavan, you will see that the whole Vrindavan experience closes for you. in as children we had these pop-up books, you know, we would open them, and as we opened them there was a whole scenario, a castle with knights and aristocracy, and then if we closed the books, the castle and the knights and the aristocracy would disappear again. So bhakti or Vrindavan is like this. It opens up to you, and all, and Yamuna, Brijbasis, Giriraj, Govardhan will appear in a three-dimensional or four-dimensional or fifth-dimensional form to you. In other words, in an Adbhuta way, it will manifest to you, as long as you have this eagerness, which is practically pronounced in the three desires. You want to come close, you want to serve, and you want to please. But the moment you become sidetracked and something happens to the eagerness, or it becomes overlaid, Vrindavan closes like a book, and everything is gone. You only at that time have the cover of Vrindavan, just like a closed book only has a cover. The content is not visible to it. Is this clear? This is very important. Let your eagerness be nourished. Let it grow for Vrindavan. And how this can be nourished will be discussed in today's kata. We heard yesterday that when Mahaprabhu left Mathura, he entered Vrindavan's forest in a remote place called Agravan. And the moment he entered, he rolled on the ground in uncontrollable ecstasy. After he had rolled for some time, he jumped, he saw the trees, and he ran towards the trees and embraced the trees, one after the other. Then he became aware that there were parrots and peacocks and bumblebees. Who else is in Vrindavan's forest? Monkeys, I believe, and yes, cows. And he saw all these. And usually you will say to human beings, chant Hare Krishna. But there were no human beings. There were only these animals of Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu addressed them and said, chant Hare Krishna. This is how ecstatic he was. Vrindavan's residents, the cows, the trees, responded in kind. They became very jubilant. The trees bowed down, offered their fruits. The cows came to him and licked his transcendental body. The parrots began to talk in his close to him and glorify Radha and Krishna. And Vrindavan was opened as the transcendental place as it is. So why did Mahaprabhu respond so ecstatically? Why was his ecstasy awakened? What happened here? And can this also happen to us? The answer is yes. Is given by Rupa Goswami in his work Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He discusses there something which stimulates certain feelings. It's called Udipan. The scholars like to say, translate it as inciting ingredients, but we have the word stimulate. Stimulation happens, for instance, I could tickle myself here at the, on the rib, and now it doesn't work, but usually it works. Then it stimulates a laughter. Or when there is not sufficient appetite, you can take things from the Ayurvedic things, chakravahan, I think is, I forgot the exact word. It's with chakra, medicine with chakra. And when you take it, you are hungry. It stimulates your appetite. A good music can stimulate in you something, or a good theater play can act to bring about tears or in an audience, which can tune into these stimulants. Whatever stimulants will only work if you can somehow learn, if you can respond to them. For instance, when you go to a hardcore rock and roll concert, and the singer sings, "I want to kill somebody." Those who are in a certain level of culture become highly inspired and begin to dance and also shout, "I want to kill somebody." They were stimulated by something which came into them and to which they could respond. And a cultured Vaishnava, like all of you, he would immediately leave that place and not feel any, he would feel disgust and go. So in the transcendental realm, there are also stimulants called udipans, which are those things that awaken ecstatic love. Rupa Goswami gives several examples, and listen to them, please, carefully. Krishna's qualities. A devotee, for instance, will hear how Lord Krishna was so much loving Sudama Vipra, who brought him a little broken rice as a present, that Krishna felt, "Oh, again my devotee has outdone me. Sudama has given me a present and I want to respond to it in kind. His presence is such that he has given me something which was beyond his means. He is so poor, he cannot even buy rice for me as a present. So he went to beg for the rice. But I have everything in possession. I cannot respond to him by giving him something which is also beyond my means. Everything is within my means. Oh no, my devotee has outdone me." The devotee hears, "Wow, Krishna is so attached to his devotees. He ate that broken rice, although it was very difficult to digest for him. Broken rice, uncooked. Oh, it will create a gas problem for everyone. But no, he ate." Krishna's qualities. His activities can stimulate ecstatic love. I think some of us felt this when they heard yesterday how Krishna arranged everything in such a way that Nanda Maharaj had to send him out for cow herding, although he didn't want it. Nanda Maharaj wanted Krishna to be an eternal calf herder, because those who herd calves stay near to the house. But then Krishna talked to Nanda Maharaj's brothers in such a way that the brothers came on his side and convinced him, because he wanted to go with the cows within the forest of Vrindavan. So his activities, his decorations, the devotee may think about Krishna's decorations on his cheeks, the various decorations in various forms, and this will awaken devotional ecstasies, his smile, his fragrance, how Krishna smells. Have you ever smelled another person in your life? Maybe the mothers have smelled their babies. Krishna's fragrance is something so overwhelming that Krishna has the problem to disappear, because even if he removes his rupa, his fragrance lingers on in the atmosphere and everyone knows he was here. His flute, his bugle, the anchor bells, Krishna's conch shell is a stimulant. The devotees of Krishna stimulate ecstatic love. Places of residence where Krishna stayed, or Krishna's favorite plant. Therefore, my dear devotees, I must tell you from experience, let someone check your japamala if it is pure tulsi or not. Pure tulsi, when you touch pure tulsi, wow, that is a stimulant. The marks on his feet can be a stimulant. Who knows an example of someone who was stimulated by seeing the marks of Krishna's feet? Akrura, someone said. Others said Uddhava. Yes, very correct. Yes, Akrura was sitting on the royal chariot, and when he saw the marks of Krishna's lotus feet in the ground, he just jumped, he dived down from the chariot, and he forgot there were many spies with direct access to internet who could report all his... I'm testing you if you're listening or not. There were spies who would report his every move to Kamsa, but he gave up all the fear that Kamsa would torture his relatives, because he would hear, "Oh, Akrura has changed sides. He has gone on the side of my enemy Krishna by bathing his head in the footprints of Krishna." This is really an extreme form of adoration. Akrura gave up his prestige that he was a Kshatriya. Kshatriyas don't roll in the dust of anyone else unless you behead them, and their head rolls on the dust. Yes. So what else? Oh, the observance of fast and vows that are associated with devotion to him, like for instance the Jamashtami Vrata. I'm sometimes sad to see that our movement is... I'm most happy to see that our movement turns into a congregational movement, and sometimes our congregational members are not so accustomed to follow everything. So on Jamashtami, we don't let them fast until midnight, because some of them would not come under these conditions. So we serve some prasadam. But when I see devotees standing in the line for prasadam on Jamashtami, I'm thinking, you are just cutting your vein, Prabhu. And all the devotional blood runs out. Observe the Jamashtami fast. Then you will be stimulated in ecstatic love of Krishna. These are Udipans. They can do this. The concept of Udipan should be well understood by you. You always, every second of the day, you have an Udipan, something which stimulates and responds. For instance, if I look now and see Gauranga Sundara, with whom I had yesterday such an important discussion, which was also a little difficult to lead. And I'm feeling a response. Wow, Gauranga Sundar, so intelligent, so devoted. And I respond to this. This is not exactly an Udipan, but it is telling you from the human psychology what happens as you see something. So if you surround yourselves with Udipans, which awaken ecstatic love for Krishna, no, these stimulants which awaken ecstatic love for Krishna, you will see how you will come from one Krishna conscious understanding and mood and realization to the next one. You will just stay in Krishna consciousness, depending how many Udipans you have in your life. And depending on your purity, you will respond more to Krishna conscious Udipans, and if you are not so pure, you will maybe respond to stimulants of the material world. When a devotee is pure, he is like a pure copper wire. The electrical current will flow through the wire unimpeded. There's no obstacle. But the more impurities come into the vaya, that means the more alloyed the copper is, the more it is not pure copper, the electricity gets stopped. Similarly, the Udipans in Krishna consciousness can awaken an ecstatic response in you if you keep yourself pure. If you are a little bit careless, like many of you who see so many kami movies and eat kami food, then you will not be able to respond so much to these Krishna conscious stimulants. But you might feel even bored. It might happen to you. So the purity or impurity in your heart will facilitate or impede the flow of Krishna conscious feelings or emotions. Now, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, most pure, I mean, we can't even say most pure because that would mean he's in the same category as us. But when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Vrindavan, he just needed to see the bluish necks of the peacocks, and he became totally in ecstasy, because it would directly remind him of Krishna. An example of someone who responds to pure, who responds immediately to Krishna conscious stimulants is of the highest is Srimati Radharani. And I would like to talk to about this subject of stimulants in a negative or in indirect way. Once Krishna asked one of the close girl companions, Vishakha, how is she, my Radha? Oh, said Vishakha, a very difficult condition your Radha is in. Because, why, said Radha? Because of you. You are acting towards her cruelly. You are not coming at the appointed time at the meeting places. You are with some other girl and not with Radha. And Radha, my Radha is so soft-minded, she has to tolerate all this, and now she has broken her relationship with you. Oh, really? Said Krishna. Yes, once and for all. She has given away all Shalagram Shila from the house altar, because the moment she sees something black, is reminded of you and you stand before your her eyes. Is it? Said Krishna. Yes, she has given away all her black saris and the dark blue saris as well. Because the moment she sees the black or blue sari, she sees you only. Krishna realized how serious it is. And then, said Vishakha, when she goes through the forest, she sometimes sees these black tamal trees. But do you know what she did? She asked all her sakis to whitewash the black tamal trees. Oh. But she cannot avoid all dark things, like for instance the rain clouds. Yes, she can avoid Syam Sunda. My Saki is very intelligent. When she goes out, she has a white umbrella. So should there be a cloud, she will not see the cloud, but she will not even see the bluish sky. Because if she looks in the sky, then she's reminded of you. Oh, said Krishna. But there's a problem with my Saki. She cannot avoid all blue things because she has blue eyes. Why has Radharani blue eyes? She looks only at Krishna. You know many things. Yes. And that's why she cries from morning till evening, where is my Krishna? This is an example of, you know, a superlative example. I would like to give you a superlative example, another second superlative example of responding to Udipans. Huh? In Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was repeatedly visited by the Yuvaraj. Yuvaraj means the young prince who would become the next king. He was the son of Maharaj Prataparudra. And Maharaj Prataparudra, as you all know, had this desire to have a darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he sent his son, and Mahaprabhu wouldn't see him because on principle he did not see women and kings, money men. That was the sannyas rule at that time. So Maharaj Prataparudra wanted to somehow, you know, and here you see a typical Indian mind. They will get what they want through any way when they really want it hard enough. They are not half-hearted like we spoiled Westerners. Oh, it's too difficult. Let's give up that desire. So he somehow, Prataparudra, wanted to make Mahaprabhu favorable to meeting him. And that's why he sent his little son, the Yuvaraj, and he dressed him up that he was awakening a positive thought in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If the prince would have just come like he was dressed normally, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could have said, oh, he's the son of the king. I don't even want to see the son. It will never work. I will not see this king. Don't even try. But Maharaj Prataparudra had his son dressed in a yellow dhoti. And when the little boy came, dressed in a yellow dhoti, Mahaprabhu went into fits of ecstasy and embraced the little boy. And because the appearance of the prince stimulated Mahaprabhu's ecstatic remembrance of Krishna and gave him tremendous spiritual pleasure. In the Radhakund, there lives one little boy. His name is Haridev. And sometimes Haridev dresses in a yellow dhoti and puts a plastic crown, but it's nevertheless a crown on his head. And I have once been there and went with him to the Kund. And if you see the bridge Basis, how they are stimulated. They look at Haridev and they run to their shops and bring toffees out of the shop, tilak, dresses, everything, because they feel so much reminded of Krishna with this little boy with this. He has huge eyes from here to there. You should see him. A very attractive young little boy. And also sufficiently naughty, and so on. So this is telling you extent as a stimulant. We in the West know this only music, you know, stimulates in us certain responses, the way people, you know, the external appearance. Once I was in an airplane and a total Maya Devi entered the airplane, moving her hair like this and her, I don't know, her hand like this. I looked another way. But, you know, the whole airplane was looking, I mean, the men, the women went like, you know. We only know this, but there are, even for a new devotee who is maybe not pure, some udipans which will bring about something as an ecstatic response. I would like to give an example of Vrindavan Dham. It is so powerful that even beginners who go on parikram can feel what is called in Rupa Goswami's language a chaya bhava, or the shadow of an emotion. One may sit under a tree, for instance. A breeze of Vrindavan will touch the pilgrim. Then he hears some chirping above his head. As he looks up, he sees two parrots talking to each other. He remembers immediately the section from Chaitanya Charitamrita where the discussion of the Shuk and Sari are told. And he goes like, a sense of relief from material misery comes over him. That's how it starts. And then he feels profoundly joyful and his eyes are full of light. I want to ask you to make an attempt in your own study of this subject. Look at someone before Govardhan Parikrama and look at him after Govardhan Parikrama. Now, you will see maybe blisters on his feet, which were not there before. But what you also will be able to see without any difficulties is you will see something has changed in his mind. At least that is the normal effect. But of course there may be someone who's so covered that he's just thinking of the next Coca-Cola stand. That can happen. The pilgrim may go to a place and hear Krishna did this activity. Here Krishna did that activity. And he may touch with his head the Utkala, is it called Utkala or the Mirza, what is Mirza? Mortar, the mortar, And he will feel how something surges into his being. Or he may go to Radha Kund and Syama Kund, look at the kundas and see the reflection of the sun in the water and be reminded of Radharani's dance, because he remembers a verse from the Shastra where Krishna is at Radha Kund and sees the image of Radha reflected in the leaves of the tree and learns to dance. He may feel like this and be very affected. These things, in other words, act like a spark of fire on dry wood. If your heart is still wet with material desires, it will not burn so easily or become inflamed or incited so easily. But the purer you are, the better this will work for you. And then your face will glow with transcendental happiness, and you will start to sing happily the Lord's glory. Sit down at the side of the parikram mark. Just sit and watch the people who pass by. Maybe you sit behind a tree where no one can see you so easily. I often do this, and I have seen many pilgrims cry. I have seen even ISKCON devotees break out in spontaneous song as they pass, because Giriraj was acted as a powerful Udipan, which incited some transcendental emotions. Srila Prabhupada says that this ecstatic response can also come in the association of pure devotees. Remember, they are one of the Udipans whose moon-like love for Krishna becomes reflected in the heart of the beginner, and the result is an attachment to Krishna. You can see that in my god brothers who had association with Prabhupada. That was the best thing which ever happened in their life, because it incited their Krishna consciousness. And even to this day, they talk about it. Many books are published by this, because their feelings were started. It was a start-up. I want to sing with you a song, if possible. We asked him, Mangshu, to... Yes. Radha Kunda Tata Kunja Kutia. It's a song about different Udipans. The cottage in the grove on the banks of Radha Kund. Oh, the great Govardhan Hill. Oh, the banks of the Yamuna. Kusum Sarovara. Manasa Ganga. Vangsivat. The peacocks, the buffalo horn bugle, the rows of blackish rain clouds. And the karatas. All these I know to be very conducive for the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. I recognize in them a transcendental stimulus for making the Lord's charming pastimes more intense. I refuse to go anywhere if there is no stimuli to devotional service, for to abandon these stimuli is to abandon life itself. So let us sing.
Radha kunna tata kunya kutira kovadana pavata yamuna tira suma sarobara manasaganga kalindo nandini vipula kadanga kusoma sarovara manasaganga kalinda nandini vipula kadanga.
As we go and sing about this, please try to sing them with a mind which is present. Avoid a mind which is absent-minded. Vangsivat and Gokula, and let all these places appear before your inner eye.
O Vangsivata Gokul Tirasamira Vrindavana Taru Latika Banira Vansivata Gokul Tirasamira Vrindavana Taru Latika Banira Kaga Mriga Kula Malaya Basas
Mayura. Mayura means peacocks. Brahmara means the bumblebees. And Murali Vilas means Murali.
Ma Kaga Mriga Kula Malaya Basas Mayura Brahmara Murali Vilasa Kaga Mriga Kula Malaya Bata Mayura Brahmara Murali Vila.
A little higher, Gaura Hari, higher.
Venu Shringa Pata Chinna Vasanta Shashanka Shanka Karatala Venu Shringa Pada Chinna Megamala Vasanta Shashanka Shanka Karana Yugala Vilase Anukula Jani Vila Vilase Udipaka Mani Yugala Vilase Anukula Jani Vila Vilase Udipakamani.
Some of you are not singing. Some of you are absent-minded.
Esa Bachodato Kanina Hidao Esa Bachodato Harana Haro Esa Bachodato Kanina Hidao Esa Bachodato Harana Haro Bakati Vino Kohe Chunakana Tuva Udipaka Amara Parana Pakate Vino Dagre Dunakana Tuva Udipaka Amara Parana. Oh, Hare Ketana Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
I would like to now move into the practical application and then move forward. A practical application of these, the knowledge of Udipans, would be that we try to bring as many Udipans as possible into our lives. Many times devotees complain to me and say, yes, when we are in a seminar, we feel very Krishna conscious. Do you know why? You have stimuli there. And then they say, when we leave the seminar, go home, we feel very un-Krishna conscious. Do you know why? Because you have no stimuli at home. Make your home a place where there are favorable stimuli. I have seen some devotees you may say they overdid it. I think they understood the philosophy very nicely of stimuli. I visited in London a room. It was all sand. I said, this is extremely new. A room, a furnishing. What is it? A sand of the Yamuna. Wow, I said. Then I looked up. There was wood. Not like boards of wood, but branches. They are from branches which have fallen down from desire trees in Vrindavan. I picked them up. The whole room was like this. There was a piece of a turban from Lord Nityananda. I saw one bead of the beads of Rupa Goswami, and it was full of these things. You would walk in the Dharma, and I said, what do you feel when you are in a room? The devotee said, I feel I'm in Vrindavan. That's why I have this room. You have too many Maya stimuli in your life. And do you know that these stimuli are outside, but they are there, they have left their indent, their cruel impression inside your soft psychology, that they are there as sanskaras. From outside you are stimulated for Maya, and from inside, where the impressions of your previous activities and previous life are there. And in this way, you are doubly changed. Not changed. Chained. With double chains on the wall of your conditioning, waiting for the next catastrophe to happen in your spiritual life. You need stimuli outside, and by reading Krishna Katha, chanting properly, you can do something against the stimuli, the sanskaras inside, and as a result some first class memories of Krishna will awaken. Bhakti Charu Maharaj tells the story of a devotee. He's found dancing. Others passers by come, "Why do you dance?" And the devotee says, "I see the vultures drawing their circle." This is very inauspicious. It's not a reason to dance, say the passerby. But the devotee responds, "No, it means by the way they circle, a cow has died." "Ah, this is doubly inauspicious," says the passersby. "No, you don't understand. Now we can take, we will take the hide of the cow," it means the skin of the cow, "dry it and make a mridanga and play kirtan." This is how a devotee sees stimuli. And Prabhupada wrote about this extraordinary perspective. He said, "Although a devotee sees trees, mountains, and other living entities moving here and there, maybe a vulture or other, he sees all as the creation of his Supreme Lord. With the reference to the context," means it's they're created by the Lord, "he sees only the Creator and not the Creator. In other words, he does no longer distinguish between the created and the Creator. He sees only the Supreme Personality of Godhead in everything. He sees Krishna in everything and everything in Krishna." So, I think some of you remember the verse, "Stavara jangama dekana dekatara murti ishta deva spurti." No? He sees a spurti. Spurti means an appearance in the psychology of Krishna as he sees the world. Why? Because he has learned the knowledge of stimuli. First he sees the Vrindavan stimuli and other stimuli, and he trains himself by these very direct stimuli. Later, the world is a stimuli for his Krishna consciousness, and he is not forgetting it. But if you do not apply the psychology of Udipans in your life, you will see only Maya everywhere, even in Vrindavan. It's very important to learn this. I would now like to make it very simple and very direct. Prabhupada once wrote a letter which for me has become one of my favorite letters. It's very brief. He writes it to a devotee son who has to learn arithmetics, some form of mathematics, huh? And he says, "I'm very happy that you are learning mathematics, but now I want to teach you transcendental mathematics." Do you want to learn this also? Why? Because you have to say yes, or you're with us. 2 + 2 = 4. 5 + 5 = 10, Prabhupada said. And everything plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. If you are a note taker, this is a good note to take. 2 + 2 = what was it? 4. 5 + 5. That's only a social convention to say it's 4. You could also say 6 with another social convention. 5 + 5 = 10. It's the relative word. But now, everything plus Krishna equals good. If you take this home, your Govardhana retreat was a success. Add to everything in your life Krishna. And then everything can be a stimulant for ecstatic love. Try this with your surroundings. Add Krishna there. Put Krishna pictures there. Add Krishna to your misery. Oh, this happens. Oh, I'm sick. Oh, add Krishna. Maybe there's a Krishna conscious perspective. Yes, Krishna is knocking at my door and making me see things. Everything plus Krishna equals Vrindavan. How do you like this? Oh, you're so tired. What do I do with you? This is ecstatic, Prabhus. Learn this. This is a key. It is an answer to many of your asked and unasked questions. It works. Hare Krishna. Sorry, sometimes one has to be a little personal with his audience. I want to see now if there is a question to this important point. If not, we will continue. Only to this point, please. Over there. Yes, Prabhuji, speak loud. You decide. Of course, immoral activities cannot be connected. That is clear. But you need to be. Why I said you decide was not an arrogant answer. It is really individual. You need to see a little bit. But really try to bring Krishna into your life. Don't leave him at Govardhan. Yes, leave him at Govardhan. No one should take a Govardhan Sheila out of Vrindavan. But you know what I mean to say. Mm-hmm. One more question. Yes. Did I understand it right? The more we develop inner Udipanas, the more we see everything outside as a spiritual Udipan. Well, it would be a little bit more accurate, but the idea is the same, if you would say the more you raise your Krishna consciousness and your purity, you will see everything as a reminder of your Ishta Deva, of the Lord of your heart. That's why it was so pleasing to be with Srila Prabhupada, because by his comments we knew that he was always residing in Krishna consciousness. When, for instance, he went with a went with a car through an American town, and he saw one sign on a shop, or was it more a factory, unalloyed steel, and he said, yes, we also have this unalloyed love. You know, everything would just like Bhui Jean Prabhu said, there was this bird, Thunderbird, and Prabhupada would see, yes, Chataka, the bird who goes in the thunder to the cloud and drinks water from there and does not want to drink water from the ground. But, you know, to develop Krishna consciousness is dependent on these Udipans, which incite in you Krishna consciousness, devotees. I think holy scriptures will stimulate our love for Krishna very much. The holy Dham, it's the name of Krishna. Wow, Krishna. So on. Yes, so you are right in what you say, but it's good to have simple language. The more you are in Krishna consciousness or in awareness of Krishna, you see everything as Krishna. And I made a note here from Jiva Goswami, which was read by Jakatarini on the roof. One who does not see me in every situation, says Krishna, remains unfulfilled in life. One who doesn't see me in every situation remains unfulfilled in life. Is Jagatarini with us at this moment? Jagatarini, am I quoting it verbatim, or was it a little different? It needs a little tweaking. Do you remember, or will you, in the evening you can maybe bring, in the evening we will hear this quote, this is how, you know, it came to me, I heard the sentence and it struck me, my whole mind was thinking about this, and then I thought, I write this down, but then it had been gone already through the Sachinandan Swami mind, and some words have been changed because I'm not a native speaker, and maybe I speculated something into this. But Jagatarini will supply to us in the evening the direct quote. But the content was all right. This is what it means to learn from a guru. You know, it says in the Bhagavad Gita, Tadvidi Pranipatena Pari Prashnena Sevaya, we should go to the great souls and learn. And then when you are doing this, you will see the Lord everywhere. You will see the Lord not separated. And that is called Krishna consciousness. So one way to come to this is to increase the intake of your Udipans. Very important, my dear devotees, very important. Sometimes we are not careful enough. I remember Ravindra Swarup Prabhu came, and he had been giving a lecture in a seminar for priests. Do you know what that is? Catholic priests, they live in celibacy, are learning in a seminar. It's not just one lecture, it goes over half a year, how to become good priests. And these priests in training approached him confidentially and said, we don't think we can ever become priests because we cannot follow the celibacy. And we cannot speak to the older priests about this. We suspect that many of them do it with the young boys, the breaking this rule, and it's a huge problem in the church. And then Ravindra Swarup, he said, I'm not surprised, because I see in the dining room from morning till evening the TV is on, and you have the TV Udipans, which are not exactly stimulating celibacy, and so on. You must have other Udipans, other you must surround yourself with pure things. And please let us not underestimate this. Most of us are not just thinking about this and wonder, why is it that I have these performance swings in my consciousness, sometimes like this, sometimes like that. Hare Krishna. Good. Hare Krishna. Now I will get back into the Leela. Yes, we are in good time. How are you? Are you tired? I'm a little insecure, but no, you look all right. I'm usually not looking into the eyes of my audience, because if I see one person who is absent-minded, then it is a stimulant that I will get, why are you absent-minded? And I lose all my points. So now I'm looking in your eyes. I'm studying you for the first time today. Yeah, it's all right. It's sorry, I'm just trying to serve you. It's not arrogant, but maybe it comes across as being highly Germanic. Good. Krishnadas Kaviraj describes Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstatic love increased 100,000 times when he wandered in the forest of Vrindavan, because there were the trees, the tamal trees, the parrots, the cows, Vrindavan's dust, everything. He says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was elsewhere, the very name of Vrindavan was sufficient to increase his ecstatic love. Uripan. Now when he was actually traveling in the Vrindavan forest, his mind was absorbed in great ecstatic love day and night. He ate and slept simply out of habit. Now, the next very significant event which we want to describe is my favorite subject in this seminar. It is the discovery of Radhakund and Syamakund. Once Narada Muni asked Lord Krishna, what is your supreme place of residence? And Lord Krishna said, in Vrindavan Dham, where every leaf is chanting our name, there Radha and myself always stay and never leave it. Then Narada Muni said, my Lord, but time will come when your pastime places will be overgrown with dense foliage. This means jungles, thorn bushes, etc. And Krishna said, yes, this will happen. But what will you? Why do you ask? Narada Muni said, it is my desire that in the future people will be able to come and say, here is Radharani's birthplace, here's Krishna's birthplace, and so on. These need to be discovered. Oh, said Krishna, then I will give you a blessing. You will be born as Narayan Bhatta in the South Indian district. And when you are a little boy, when you are a young man, you will meditate on a river, and then Radha and Krishna will come. Then I will come with Radharani to you, and I will order you to go to Vrindavan and discover the lost places of pilgrimage. So one day, Narayan Bhatta, who everything came as the Lord wanted, meditated at the side of a river, and a little, and at the end of his meditation, he had the full darshan of Radha and Krishna, and they said, go now to Vrindavan. and find the lost places of pilgrimage. But how will I find them? Everything is jungle. I will show you, said Krishna, and became a little deity, and Narayan Bhatta carried this deity around his head, and whenever no one was there, this deity would run out of the bag and run in the forest, and when strangers came, other outside comers, the deity would rush back. Many, Lokanath Goswami had such a deity also. Many in our line, Rupa and Sanatana Goswami, have excavated the lost places of pilgrimage. But there were two places which only the Lord Himself could identify. And this were Radhakund and Syamakund. And why this is so, we will soon understand. In the lake Radhakund, Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani used to sport daily in the water, and at the bank they had their rasa dance. Indeed, Lord Krishna gives ecstatic love like that of Srimati Radharani to whoever bathes in that lake even once in his life. One bath. Ho gaya, it's done. Shri Radhe. No, I'm so unmusical. Shri Radheva Harestadiya Sarasi Preshtat Putaya Svagunai Yasyam Shri Yutamadavendur Anisham Prityataya Kridati Premasmin Bhatirada Kevalabhate Yasyam Sakrit Snanakrit Tasya Vai Mahima Tata Madurima Kenastu Van Yachito. Translation. Because of its wonderful transcendental qualities, Radhakund is as dear to Krishna as Srimati Radharani. It was in that lake that the all-opulent Lord Sri Krishna performed his pastimes with Srimati Radharani with great pleasure and transcendental bliss. Whosoever bathes just once in Radhakund attains Srimati Radhika's loving attraction for Sri Krishna. Who within this world can describe the glories and sweetness of Radhakund? There are different places here in Vrindavan, and there is a hierarchy of these places, which one is supreme. Now, how will you make the hierarchy in transcendence? By what parameter is one better than the other? Anyone has an idea? Yes, but what is the reason that one is higher than the other? Yes, I understand what you say. But my question is different. A question, again the question. We say that one place is higher than the other. By what quality do we decide what is higher than the other? sorry? I cannot hear and acoustically. Speak loud. More bhakti, says someone. More intimacy. Rasa. Madhurya rasa is highest. Huh? Here, our scholar is here. Please. Not, what is more dearest to Krishna? Thank you. Yes. A place is higher if it facilitates more intimate love. Yeah. A place is higher to the degree where it facilitates more intimacy and love. Do I say it correctly? Yes. This is, of course, something thought-provoking. Yes. Well, wonderful. You all say wonderful. Yes. In the relationship to Radharani, you come from Australia? No, there's a special way you say Radharani. Yes. From where, please? America, my God. Yes. Vrijbasi might not recognize of whom you are talking when you talk like this. Radharani. Radharani. <You know? laughs> Sorry. Let us park for a moment your extremely wonderful commentaries and hear a rendition of the Upanishadic verse where the hierarchy is explained. There is a spiritual hierarchy of significance. So this is my words. Now it comes to Rupa Goswami's word. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha. Superior to Mathura is Vrindavan. Superior then the Vrindavan forest is Govardhan Hill. Thank you. But above all these, the super excellent Sri Radhakund stands supreme. Now the reason why there is this difference is in fact what Maharaj said and what some of you said, rasa. And I will read the same text now with pointing out the rasas. The holy place known as Mathura is spiritually superior to Vaikuntha because the Lord appeared there. No one has ever heard that in Vaikuntha there are parents of Krishna like Devaki and Vasudev, no? Narayan is there, and we never hear that he worships his parents, and so on. But we go higher. Superior to Mathura is Vrindavan because the Rasa Leela took place there. Krishna does not interact in Madhurya Rasa. In Mathura with his devotees. He visits Kupcha, but he takes the lust away from her by his transcendental association. Superior than Vrindavan forest is Govardhan Hill. The reason is that another Rasa Leela took place here, where the newcomers who came from the material world and had their introduction here are not there. It's only with intimate Nitya devotees. And it was raised by the hand of Krishna. That's also given this reason. But above all these, the super excellent Sri Radhakund stands supreme, for it is overflooded with the ambrosial nectarian love of the Lord of Gokula, Sri Krishna. The ambrosial nectarian love is Madhurya Rasa. Do you know that every day, without exception, Radha and Krishna meet there for their confidential pastimes, and no member of other rasas, not even the cowherd boys, are allowed there. In the Transcendental Architect, the cowherd boys first had some kunjas around Syamakund and Radha, Syamakund, but they gave these to the gopis because in this way the rasa is maintained. Now, I should explain something about places and rasas to you. Do you know why the gopis didn't just all go to Mathura and stay with Krishna? Why so much tears? Come back, come back. He's only 12 kilometers away. You would go there. No, 12 kilometers at Tonga would, or Bullockart, or in that time, and you go there. But it's inconceivable because there Krishna relates with his devotees in the Aishwarya mood, not the Madhurya mood. And therefore they want to stay in Vrindavan, and they want Krishna in that particular feature, dressed like a cowherd boy, no sandals, bare feet, playing the flute and all. And they will never, never even think of going to Dwaraka and stay on Mathura, because the rasa, the way the interchange goes, is not possible. It's this I always have, this problem I always have. You know, I know it. I have a friend. My friend is super busy. And he is often surrounded with dignitaries and so on. And when I see him, and he's surrounded with dignitaries, he is a professor, and he has started many projects. It's Professor Weber, if you ever want to know him. And if I meet him in his office, I have to also talk, and so nicely, respectfully. I might not see him before because he is so busy receiving important people and politicians and so on. Therefore I say, I will not come to you. Be in your office. It's boring. It's so absolutely. And I, as a friend, can't act. I don't see you as a friend. You come and visit me. And then I will slap you on your back and I will tell you, you are an ugly fool. That's the way in Germany you respond to your best friends. And so on. And we will be friends. I mean, Hare Krishna. This is to super, super good friends, but not normal friends. Let's take this away. The gopis want Krishna as Braj Krishna, and therefore they say, and the highest rasa between the on the highest level happens in Radhakund, and it needs Gauranga Mahaprabhu to find it, no one else. The way it happened is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the village Arita. It is a Braj name of Arishtapura. Arita, they brief everything. And then inquired from the local people, where is Radhakund? Local people shook their head. Radhakund? We don't know of a kund like Radhakund. In fact, there are no kunds here. There are rice fields, but no kunds. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went straight into one rice field, paid his obeisances to there was a rice field, into a pond in the rice field. It must have been dry because it said there was a pond inside. Not everything was a lake, so a pond. Paid his obeisances, bathed in great ecstasy there, and afterwards applied the mud of that place to his body. there's a description in Bhakti Ratnaka how the Brijbasi saw this lord who was having a golden effulgence going there and all of a sudden jumping into the shallow little pond and shrieking. You know, Mahaprabhu was acoustically very present. You would hear him over kilometers. Yeah, that's how he could chant with millions of people and without Bose amplification systems and so on. It was very, very, you could hear him. So he took his bath and he chanted the verse Yata Radha Priya Vishnus Tasya Kundam Priyam Tata Sarva Gopishu Saivaka Vishnu Adyanta Valabha. Which translates into this: just as Srimati Radharani is most dear to Lord Krishna, so her lake known as Radhakund is also very dear to Krishna. Of all the gopis, Srimati Radharani is certainly the most beloved. Krishna likes Radhakund the way he likes Radharani. And Vishnu, this poses a theological problem which Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur addresses. He muses about why Radhakund is special. I want to read it to you. I think that when Radha saw Krishna, she melted with ecstasy and thus assumed the liquid state of the waters of Radhakund. In the same way, when Krishna saw Radha, he too melted in ecstasy and became the waters of Radhakund. Yes. This way, these two lakes bear the names and qualities of the divine couple. So it's not only the name Radha or Syam, but it's also the qualities. They're full of love. They're full of sweetness. And then Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes something very, very endearing. He says, shining with happiness, the devotees bathe in these two lakes. I think these two lakes are the divine couple's love. They who are fortunate bathe there, because bathing there is like bathing in their transcendental love. Have you ever bathed in love? I think as a child you bathed in the love of your mother. My mother told me something which really endeared me. Just 1 year ago she told me that once she gave me to her auntie and the auntie would play with me by throwing me, and I always was a little adventurous, started as a baby. I said to the aunt, higher, 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 and she threw me higher, and then my mother came to the auntie. Maybe it's a little private, can I say it or not? It's a little ashamed. My mother said, my boy is like a little angel. If you threw him too high, he might fly away. Better you keep him. When I heard this, I felt bathed by the love of my mother. I felt, wow, such love. She thinks I will fly away. I really felt like, oh my God, I really owe to this person something, and I was so angry and foolish when I was a teenager. Ugh. And even now I'm not good. And, bathing in love. I think we all are bathed in the love of our mother. If the mother has a motherly bhava, some mothers are a little angry that they got a child and so on. But normal mother is like this. So here is another possibility to be bathed in love, with love. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stood at the banks and remembered the pastimes which Krishna performed over there with Radharani. One particular pastime I would like to share with you is that sometimes Radha and Krishna bathe in Radha Kund, and Srimati Radharani will take her hands around the neck of Syam, and Syam will swim over the lake. But sometimes Lord Krishna hides in the lotus flowers, the sapphire colored lotus flowers, but in where they grow, in the area where they grow, and hides so that Radharani's will search for him and not find him and look harder. And he witnesses the increasing amount of love of Radha in separation from him. But because Radha is the queen in this area, every creature is her servant, and the monkeys point out to where Krishna is hiding, and the Radha finds Krishna very quickly. Then Radha decides to hide, and she will hide amongst a lotus flower which have which color? Golden yellow, yes. Krishna cannot find her and is desperate. Then Krishna, using his sublime intelligence, looks for signs, and he sees a beeline of bees and knows these bees must be attracted to my Radha because her breath is honey sweet and they come to taste the nectar. And by this sign, Krishna finds Radha. Such loving pastimes are executed there. So that Lord Krishna, who remembered the even very confidential pastimes, that Lord Chaitanya was so moved that he took the earth and marked his body with tilak made from the mud of Radha Kund, and took some tilak with him. Now, sometimes devotees asked about our tilak. We have usually, the followers of Mahaprabhu do not take Radha Kund tilak, although here Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself gave the example. The reason is that we are situated we have the highest regard for this extremely high place and highest thing. And you know, we Westerners, we always want what is the highest? Okay, highest rasa, what is it? The Meduya Rasa. Okay, I want that. How much do I have to pay? You know, it's not like this. It's a step by step in krama. As kramas you have to approach. Then it goes sadhu sangha. You have to become anatta, nivritti, etc. And you know, because you don't want to bring mud into transcendence, worldly mud, into the highest place. So we have this high regard. But our vision is fixed there. Srila Prabhupada used to sing this song, Radhe Jaya Jaya Madhava Daite. And he said about this song, Radha is so dear to Krishna. Everyone is trying to love Krishna, but Krishna is also trying to love somebody. How great she is. Just try to understand. The whole world, the whole universe, all living entities are trying to love Krishna. Krishna prema is so valuable. But Krishna is after Radharani, yes. Just try to understand the greatness of Radharani. She is so great. We have to offer our respects. This is the natural response of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. When Raghunath Goswami lived there, he did not want to use the only available water that is the water of Radhakund for his daily needs. And therefore he had a duck, a well duck for his daily needs. It's the utmost respect. And when this respect goes, everything goes. On a very practical level, there is a verse of the Bhagavad Gita how to approach Krishna. Mahatmanas tumang pata devin prakriti ashrita bhajantyananya manasa. Do I say it correctly? Then kyadva putadim avyayam, right? I mean, you all know verses. Is this right or is it wrong? It's right. It says the great souls take shelter devin prakriti, under the devi prakriti. A little earlier we had discussed that this could mean to take shelter under those things which stimulate your Krishna consciousness. They are devam prakriti. But the devam prakriti has one goddess who rules the inner or divine energy. Do you know her name? Radharani, of course. So devotional service is not an activity of the material world. It's directly under the devam prakriti, under Srimati Radharani. If Radharani will recommend you, this devotee is very nice, then Krishna Prabhupada said this, if Radharani recommends that this devotee is very nice, then Krishna immediately accepts, however foolish I may be, because it is recommended by Radharani, Krishna accepts. So this explains to us also our careful approach to Radhakund, our careful approach to the what is, has become known as higher topics in our circles. We want to approach it with under the shelter of the Devim Prakriti, under the shelter of the divine energy which manifests in this world as devotional service or as Bhakti Devi. Do you know the Bhakti Devi is an expansion of Radha who moves also into this world? And we will take shelter under this expansion of Radharani, Bhakti Devi, or devotional service, to gain admittance under Srimati Radharani's care. And then when Radharani recommends that this is a tried, tested and proved devotee, he has done my service, he has done devotional service, she will recommend to Krishna. If you approach Krishna alone, it's very difficult. He is so playful, he is so busy, he is so Krishna. But if you approach her through Radharani, that is through her mercy, then everything becomes very easy, very easy. We will hear tomorrow at the beginning of this katha more glorification of Srimati Radharani. But the discovery of the Radhakund by Srimati Radharani, by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's a very, very important pastime for the world. With the Radhakund, Lord Chaitanya has given us access to Radha and to her mercy, and in this way access to the world of Krishna consciousness. But please let us not be imitationist, that we want the highest for the cheapest price. That is not possible, not even in Loi Bazaar. That is not possible. If you want the highest, you have to give up something low. You have to pay the price of eagerness, and that we can express best by taking shelter under Bhakti Devi's lotus feet, praying for devotional service, praying to be accepted by Srimati Radharani, and so on. Hare Krishna! Our time has come. We have time for one or two quick questions. But this is so important. This is so nice. Krishna. Yes, Ravi, I see your question, your hand up. Won't I see no one else? Yes, we also have a little time only.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your class. There's been a lot that I've been sort of thinking about in terms of Radha Kund and in terms of approaching Srimati Radharani, especially seeing as this is my first time in Vrindavan. So it's quite relevant, everything that you were speaking about. And specifically, you mentioned at the end about how we should approach through devotional service, praying to Bhakti Devi. But are there any other qualifications specifically for physically going to Radha Kund? Because sometimes it can be a tourist trip, or it can be something that we just see from the material vision. But should there be any devotional qualifications that one should have before even going to that place?
Yes, and there is also an institution for a pilgrim. Before the Kund, you will find a guard. And only if the guard sees that you have the qualification can you come into the Radha Kund area. Otherwise, you go into a village in Uttar Pradesh. Yes, you should give up your pride. First and foremost, says Raghunath Das Goswami in Manak Shiksha, the instructions of the spiritual master, the instruction to the mind is give up the pride and develop unprecedented love for Sri Gurudev, for the Vaishnavas, the Brahmanas, the holy name, your mantras, and so on. We know when you give up that big, big blocker of Krishna consciousness, the pride blocker that blocks the development of Krishna consciousness, and then you can develop love and so on. So the way a pilgrim goes to Radha Kund traditionally is he will go to one of the four Lord Shivas who guard the Kund. He is called Kundeshwara Mahadev in the corner where the modern street, which is there where most pilgrims approach Radha Kund, is there. And they pray to Kundeshwara Mahadev. So Mahadev is there. Is one of his things is what he does is he is in one of his expansions in charge of this pride, removing this pride, and then we pray there. Let me enter. I'm not so qualified. Please let me enter. Do you know that everything around of our personality, of our conditioned personality, is only a construction? Karma and so on, constructed over our real identity, which lies dormant, and it's a construction based on our turning based on a turning point, that is turning away from Krishna. It's based on that, and it's because we turned away from Krishna, we were glanced into the material world. And if we want to be glanced out of the material world, we have to approach Lord Shambhu again, who's the glance of Lord Mahavishnu. Mm-hmm. Mahavishnu looks, and the jivas come into this world, and the glance transforms into Shambhu, and Lord Shiva. So Lord Shiva can take us out. We pray like this, especially to Gopeshwara Mahadev, and so on. There is a traditional way of entering the area of Radhakund. Other ways are prayers. You can also enter Radhakund by the road of your parampara. That is the instructions you get in your disciplic line where you are connected. And to say it simply, you have to enter Radhakund on your belly, not on your feet. Means, you know, this is a way of saying it's not necessary that we need to now all imitate the way of the snakes who go on the belly, but in utmost humility. One of my god brothers said, we will only get out of this world on our belly, crouching on our belly. Is it called crouching? Is it what, when I move forward on my belly, what is it called? Crawling, thank you. Crawling on our belly. We won't get anywhere on our feet. Hare Krishna, maybe some of you have noted already that this is the better means of transportation or moving forward as a humble soul. Maybe some of you have noted already. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your question. And let me think more about this question and answer it more deeper. I will end here at 12 o'clock. I thank you very much for your participation. We have now half an hour and then an early lunch again at 12:30, I do believe. And then we can all get ready for the class of Bhujan Prabhu at 4 o'clock. And so I wish you a wonderful remaining retreat day, your second full retreat day. All the best, and Hare Krishna!